In the name of God, Abba Ima, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I turn 73. On Friday the 13th. The whole world turned on December 13th, on the darkest, coldest, deepest, most miserable night of the year, which Scandinavians thought was the winter solstice. They found out sometime later, actually a week later, December 21st. But still, I like being born in that dark night. And everything was intense and frozen, and it felt like there was no future. That's when I was born. Bev and I got to go to New York City this last week to simply enjoy Christmas. And we did. We got to see the Rockettes. Woo! Now, I was a little, is it going to be schmaltzy, you know, a little over the top. It wasn't. The Rockettes turned Christmas into an extravaganza. All the dancers, the music, the light show, the children, the camels and donkeys. We had trains running over the ceiling and angels fluttering. Snow fell upon us in the theater, along with fairy drones hovering over the audience. Oh, it was the best ever. It was a real Christmas. Haven't we had a joyous Advent season? Huh? Messiah, utterly profound, transformative, and the soloist still can't get over it. Our Friendsgiving interfaith celebration at St. Joan of Arc, wonderful, rich, deep, true, filled with laughter. Our Thanksgiving Sunday worship, the sharing of stories amongst each other, chime bars, wild geese poetry. How about that healing service where we gathered here and laid hands on and prayed, intense and profound, and down deep, joy. The dance today, huh? That we have an Advent choir, jazz with a Latin flair and pure delight, which was pure. Hasn't it been a joyful season already? The strange thing about joy is we all want it, and it makes us a little nervous. I don't know if we can live a joyous life. Don't you think that's a bit too much? Isn't it? We always say we got to get real. Yeah. I know it's intimidating, but joy is never an escape. It's a passing through of difficulties or challenges, or maybe an opening into a new awareness where the heart is simply exuberant, filled with gratitude, glad to be alive. Joy is glorious. And even in difficult times, we can taste joy. Can't we? I see a few heads nodding. Right? People who are struggling. Can know joy. wherever we are. The gospel permeates to open the heart once again. Now, I have to admit that John the Baptist can sound a bit grumpy. He was not in the temple, right? He's out in the wastelands of the desert, the mouth of the Jordan, baptizing people. So people are motivated to come a great distance to hear him. And he asks when they arrive, including the leaders and authorities, "Brood of vipers, what do you want?" What a welcome. The Bible always tells the truth. And the reality of this greeting seems a bit harsh for a day of anticipatory Christmas, but perhaps you've had encounters with people who are just slithering over one another in life. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you met any of these folks? They just kind of slither around you, telling lies and deceit, and they just poison everything. Everything. So John clears house. What do you want? And these folks who've come are desperate because their lives are empty. They're at the heart of the action scene in Jerusalem, and it's not there. What should we do, they ask. And John says, you have food, share it. Tax collectors, no skimming off the top. Well, that's how they made a living. Soldiers ask, what about us? He says, no extortion, no intimidation. Basically, John is just sharing the golden rule, isn't he? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Jesus, in the gospel, goes far beyond the golden rule. When he says, turn the other cheek, and we all, he's too much, isn't he? Why does he have to say, what do you mean, turn the other cheek? Lillian, can you help me? We'll give an example here. You need to know the context. She's really good at this. We rehearsed for 5 hours. When an authority reprimanded somebody else, or a Roman wanted to just negate any Jewish peasant, you hit them with the back of your hand. Not a punch, the back. Slow motion here, very little contact. Ready? I would do this to her. Okay? But now that she's had her head this way, turn the other cheek means this, if I may. What am I doing now? It's silly, isn't it? I don't want to look like a fool. What's Jesus talking about? What makes me think I'm somebody because I can hit her? What about her dignity? He's exposing the power we live with when we think we're better than somebody else. Turn the other cheek. Turn him into a human being. Thank you. If somebody takes you to court, he says, and they want to take your tunic, you wore a robe and a tunic, he says, give them both. Walk around naked, say, Harold is so weird. He's so abusive. He took all my clothing. What? You see what he's pushing? The zaniness of this. It's crazy. But we think we're really somebody when we can steal and take and possess and have their stuff. I'm somebody, huh? He's exposing all that. Somebody asks you to go a mile, go a second. Very specific context. Soldiers, Roman soldiers, could mandate that a Jewish peasant carry their gear for approximately a mile anytime they wanted. Every Jewish person knew exactly how many steps that was. And whatever it is, 1,432, boom, drop your gear and walk off in disgust. Instead, Jesus says, go an extra mile. The soldier's going to look at you and say, what is wrong with you? Well, I don't know. Where's your family from? Do you like Italy? Do they have good summers there? How about your children? Do you have any? And what kind of horse would you like to own someday? You're turning them into a human being as you become more human yourself. Because I'm not simply regarding myself by the levels by which human beings normally measure ourselves. Invest in the dignity of the other. Go an extra mile. Crazy, isn't it? Joyful. Wild. A new universe opening to us if we will turn towards it. Jesus even turns crucifixion into an expression of love. He turns resurrection into reality. It's the turning, friends, and the returning, which is everything. Turning to God, turning to the center, returning to who we are, which always means we start turning to our neighbors and one another as well. Because you cannot turn to God and just be alone, the two of us. God and I have such a good thing going here. Please don't disturb us. Oh, it's so sweet. It's so pathetic. It's so American. Just me and God, you know. It's about all of us being welcomed into the openness, into the joy of it all, and turning to become a human being again. At Christmas time, the whole world turns towards this baby in a manger, and that infant turns the whole world around and inside out. And if we could have the Rockettes here this morning, I would have them conclude this homily with a kick dance. For the joy of it, and for us. Amen. The peace which surpasses all human understanding. Keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.